The voice of the Lord. You know, I want to take you to the 10th chapter of the great book of Revelation. I want to refresh your memory of what is written in chapter 9. The sixth trump was sounded, and four bound angels were, which means they were bad, were released at the river Euphrates. And when the swarmers swarm, they're there. And it is our duty and obligation to our Father to pay close attention and recognize what's going down and at what time. So let's pick it up, if we may, with those thoughts in mind. Maybe we'd better take verse 18 to know what to expect from the swarm and from those four bound angels. Verse 18 said, "And by these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by brimstone." In other words, all their out of their mouth. In other words, they're blowing smoke. Hot air won't hurt you necessarily if you're back far enough. In other words, they lie to people. They mislead people. And they do it how? In a religious sense. And that deceives many, many people. Now, with a word of wisdom, let's pick up the 10th chapter and let's go a little deeper into this. Verse 1. "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head," meaning royalty, "and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Verse 2. "And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth." That simply means he had power and control over both the earth and waters. And our Father does, this not being our Father, but certainly a representative of his. Verse 3, "And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." What are these seven thunders? What a mystery. What a wonder. Well, let's see if we can find out. Verse 4. "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices," I mean, they communicated. You got it? It was a voice. "I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered. Write them not. Don't you put them down." But now, I want you to bear something in mind. What did he have in it? A little book. He gave him the book. But he said, don't write it down exact is what it means. But it's something we're going to understand. Okay, when the time is right, and when we are supposed to know, we will understand. And so it is. Verse 5, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, praying to God, looking to God. 6. "And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." In other words, we've come right up to the end. So it behooves one to understand. Let's back up for a second, back to chapter 4 of this great book of Revelation. What does it say there in chapter 4 in verse 5? Let me read it to you. "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Well, what are those spirits of God, and what are those seven thunders, the voices? Well, you know what lightning is. Lightning precedes thunder. Skip on over to chapter 5, verse 12, and let's pick up on the Spirit of God just a little bit here. Verse 12 of chapter 5, "saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power," that's 1, "riches 2, wisdom 3, strength 4, and honor 5, and glory 6, and blessing 7, the spirits of God. Now, how can we anchor this? Do you know God always foretells his prophets? It's written. He doesn't do anything without letting you know what's about to transpire. But what you need to know, what is the voice of God? How can we tell? Psalms 29. Let's go there. And let's see if we can discern a little more. Psalms 29. Psalms 29, and what a beautiful psalm it is, the Psalm of David. Verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. There's two of the attributes in that first verse. Glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. That's righteousness. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord, here you are, that's why we came here. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon the waters. When God speaks, it is recorded as thunder. And you can take that. The order has been given. Thunder follows that. And if you wait too long after the thunder, you miss the boat. Because you're supposed to have the prophecy to know and understand. And then the truth prevails. The truth comes forward. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. There's the power. And the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It gives you knowledge and wisdom when you listen to that voice. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. The largest cedars in the world that of that type and so plentiful, always used to symbolically represent our people even. Verse 6, he maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion, that's Mount Hermon, which is to say the breastplate. Like a young unicorn. There's no such thing as a unicorn. It's wild ox. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. I want you to absorb that, and I want you to know that divideth means control. So let's read it that way. The voice of the Lord controls the flames of the fire. He is a consuming fire. Why? Because he loves his children, all of them, that follow him especially. Verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. That's the holy, even the holy wilderness. He shakes it. He's in control. I don't know, have you ever stood on the ground when a thunder and a lightning bolt hit real close to you and you felt the ground shake? He shakes things. He can. His voice shakes things. And that is an analogy to let you know exactly what we're talking about here. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. He created nature and birth them, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Glory being another attribute of the Spirit of the living God. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Not just a little while, friend. You're in a service when you're in God's service that is eternal. You're not a part-time. You're not just happening by, just a flash. It's throughout the eternity. Verse 11 to complete. The Lord will give strength. That's another one of the attributes. I hope you've kept count. Unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So, do you need strength? That's where you get it. Do you need peace, peace of mind? That's where you get it. It's from our Heavenly Father through his word. And to understand that word, whereby you have the simplicity in which Christ teaches. Now, with those attributes and the voice of the God, that thundering command. If you're wise enough to pick from His Word what the thunders mean, because they are sealed except to God's elect. So turn with me, if you would, back to the New Testament, the book of St. John, chapter 12. St. John, chapter 12. I will call your attention to verse 1. For a time sequence, verse 1 reads, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover," that time is important, log it in your mind, 6 days before Passover this message came, that is to say, except for verse 12. What does verse 12 say? "On the next day," where is the next day? 5 days before Passover, just like the 5 stones that David picked up. 5 days before that Passover, these events transpire. The prophecy that Christ gives us, gives to the ears of His election. Skip to verse 23 for me and think and absorb the Spirit and the voice of the living God. Verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'" One of the attributes. Okay. "Verily, verily, you can count on it. Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Christ knew if He did not go through the crucifixion for you, whereby you have salvation from that, then it would bring many in truth to the very feet of the cross with Him, loving Him, following Him. And naturally, as it was at that Passover, He was the crucified Lamb. Verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." In other words, if you only work forward to what you can gain in this world, you're in a heap of hurt. If you look to Him, if you look to the cross, if you look to the many, your brethren that follow Him, then we see the many-membered body of Christ. Verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me." He set the example. "And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Honor, another one of the attributes, the voice of God. And He will honor you when you do your best. None of us are perfect. We all slip sometimes. Verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." In other words, I wouldn't change anything, is what Christ is saying. I'm doing this for the children, Emmanuel, God with us, doing it for you, so that your sins can be washed away, can be cleansed, and you can have that peace of mind which comes from His Word, which is eternal. Verse 28, and He continues, "Father, glorify Thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." It's interesting that you should make note of that word "again." That's a double header there. And naturally it comes at the second advent and it comes with the price He paid on that cross. Verse 29, "The people therefore that stood by and heard it," I'm sorry, verse 28, "glorify that from and Father, glorify Thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And naturally, that voice from heaven was what? Verse 29, "The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to Him." One of the thunders that's issued that you should know and is very important in your life today. 5 days before Passover. Verse 30, listen carefully. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." And I say to you today, for your sakes, it came 5 days before Passover. 31, now, what does this now mean? 5 days before Passover. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Well, who is this prince of the world? It's the Antichrist, of course. 5 days before Passover, in the year that it transpires, he will be cast out. You are given a beautiful time there, the voice of God through the thunders that were sealed. But the ears and mind of the elect opened, whereby they can hear and understand and see the beauty in which our Father teaches us, leaving nothing unturned, telling us beforehand events that transpire so that we are servants. Because if a servant knows and understands and is aware, they will serve through their faith and love of Almighty God. Verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. And this he said, signifying death, that he should die, of course. And that's what brought it forth. But he made that note, and that special thunder from heaven on that day, at that time, for the ears of those that are supposed to hear and understand, to know what that thunder meant. 5 days before Passover, the prince of the air, Satan, was cast out upon to the earth. The will be, that is to say. Now, that should remind you of a scripture. It should be in the book of Luke, and it should be starting through your mind as one of God's elect. You remember, well, that's Luke 10. Let's go there. Luke chapter 10, I want to pick it up with verse 17. I want to tell you what's happening here in case you forget. He had sent out the disciples, given them power, as he always gives his servants power. Did you hear what I said? He always gives his servants power over the enemy, over evil spirits, and over anything that would come against his children. And they returned, and even having known it was the Lord Jesus Christ that gave them that authority, they still say in verse 17, and the 70 returned again in joy, with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Don't ever forget that. There is power in the name of the Lord. Okay, now verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now wait a minute. It didn't say thunder. No, it said lightning. What follows lightning? Thunder. This is that time when Satan falls. He's telling you. He said, you have power over evil spirits, but I'm going to give you power over he that comes 5 days before Passover, most likely. And that way you will know and understand that in Christ's name, the true Christ, you have power even over the false one. So he continues then. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You can believe that. You know, so many people I can sense by questions sent in, they fear that moment. You don't have to. Nothing by any means in your faith, in making that stand against the false one, nothing can hurt you. Your Father looks after his own. He stands. He controls the fire. He controls the water. He controls all things. And especially when the false one is here, He will be in control, utilizing His people. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know what? You're in the book of life. It means written there even before the foundations of this world as God's election. Written there. That's what you want to be thankful for, is that you made the stand against Him even in the first earth age. Don't let that throw you. It's a fact. Always judge spiritually by spiritual facts. That's pretty well documented. 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, what did He say? Rejoiced because He saw Satan fall upon us? What did He say? I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. They haven't got a clue. And hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. And of course, those babes were that final generation that would live as God's election and see that truth, and that knowledge would flow over the buds of their mind to stand against this one, having power and authority to not fear, but to conquer the devices of the wicked one. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son shall reveal Him. I don't know, He'll reveal Him to you if you'll listen, if you pay attention to His teachings, if you listen to the voice of the Lord and absorb it. He's not going to leave you hanging out somewhere not knowing what comes next. He's going to share with you. Verse 23, and He turned Him unto His disciples, and He said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. And I will say that again to you today. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see today, because they are many that are so very wise. They've got all kinds of titles behind their name, DDD and DD this and BS that. Okay. But they haven't got a clue. What's going down? Do you know why? In simplicity, they have not studied the Word of God. They do not understand the voice of God, whereby they can hear, see, and understand. 24, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. They listened. They wanted that. You understand that? Even the prophets wanted to hear and live in this generation in which you live, in which He utilizes the voice of God, the thunders sealed, the little book He handed. If you'll dig, you'll know what the thunders are. And one of the thunders announces the appearance of the false one, where you're not caught off guard. That's very important. Therefore, always be prepared and you're ready for battle, spiritually speaking. And so it is. Now, let's return back to the great book of Revelation, chapter 16. Revelation, chapter 16. Verse 12, the voice of the Lord. And the sixth angel, I want to say one thing. I want you to remember when the 10th chapter we begin reading about the seals, you were still under the power of the sixth trump. You understand that? Because naturally it's in the sixth trump that what happens? Satan's cast out. You just read from the voice of the Lord. Probably how that will come to pass, because it is specifically recorded 6 days down to five, and boom. Okay. Chapter 16, verse 12. Having been under the sign of the sixth trump, that's not the seventh, but the sixth, we read verse 12 of 16. the sixth vial, of course. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. That's the one we're watching today, even. And the waters thereof were dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The swarming and dislodging and brotherhoods taking over. And you know something? Most people don't have a clue what the brotherhood is. The four demonics turn loose, and they're operating full time. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. They weren't frogs. It said like frogs, meaning kind of gross. Come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, you know, what is said by Satan, does that frighten you? It shouldn't. Why? We just read, you have power over those things. In the name of what? Christ, of course. So, frogs don't bother you. Satan's words don't bother you. Because you're a child of the living God and you understand the voice of your Lord. And the voice of your Lord you will follow. Why? You love Him because of the price He paid for you, that you can be what you are. A loved child of God. That's priceless. That brings peace of mind. That brings understanding. 14, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And it's coming. That'd be the seventh trump, when the seventh vial is poured out. He'll do most of that fighting, but we lead up to it. And so it is. One more verse to complete this lecture. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. Are you watching? Are you studying? Are you watching the times? You watching the thunders? And keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Your righteous acts of watching weave the fine linen that you wear as robes in the heavenly body. How precious our Father's word is, the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is mighty. You know, this is kind of a short lecture, but a lot in it, if you have eyes to see, and if you have ears to hear. You learn from God's word. 6 days, 5 days, bingo. Something we're supposed to watch very closely. Why? He told you, it's time. That is the time. Now, what year will that happen in? That we don't know. But because it is revealed to us this day, along with the Euphrates and the swarmers, then we know we're getting pretty close. We're counting time, certainly. So, there you have the voice of the Lord. What is it? I think you can absorb that. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And know this, even the prophets wanted to know what you know today.